Tonight was a new era of AEW Dynamite. This was the very first edition of Dynamite here for 2023. Very hot crowd for their debut in the Seattle market. But we had a new opening video. We had new graphics. We had a new stage. Entrance tunnels are gone. It was the first real makeover for the show since the show debuted back in 2019. Unfortunately, same old audio problems. That hasn't changed. AEW has not seemed to figure out how to get around these audio problems. Jon Moxley dropped a couple of F-bombs within a 10-second span tonight because he was so frustrated. Because he could not get his mic to work. But aside from that, you know, all good on the new graphics and everything. I think the set is fine. You know, I mean, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. I think it's good to change things up every now and then. You know, you get bored of the same look. So, fresh coat of paint, brand new year, brand new start. I like the colors. I told you guys last week, I wanted to wait until this week when I saw what the new color scheme was and everything else. Everyone was bitching about the colors. Oh, WWE, red and blue. I think the red and blue looks great. I think it looks great. Last I checked, WWE does not have a trademark on the colors red and blue. So, I think it looks very nice. But in the main event tonight, in Seattle, Darby Allin in his hometown challenged for the TNT Championship, a title that he has held before. He was challenging the King of Television, Samoa Joe, who has been on a dominant tear over the last several weeks, having a lot of really fun matches on TV. And he had a really fun one with Darby several weeks ago where he nearly murdered Darby. I enjoyed that. So I was looking forward to this match tonight. I knew it was going to be the main event because Darby in his hometown going for the title. I suspected that we were going to get a title change. They surprised me. We did get a title change. We have a new TNT champion, but they did not do it the way that I thought they would. I figured for sure we were going to get Wardlow, costing Samoa Joe the TNT title. In fact, Wardlow did not factor into this match tonight at all. Darby Allin won the championship on his own. Samoa Joe put him over clean in the middle of the ring. Sting came out when the match was over. He hugged Darby. He celebrated with him. He's like a proud papa. And I don't know how many of you saw it on, because I know not everybody watches Rampage. But on Rampage last Friday, there was a backstage promo. Tony Schiavone was interviewing Sting and Darby Allin, mainly Darby Allin, to give him the news that he was going to be challenging Joe tonight for the TNT Championship. And if you did not see this segment, even though the match is over now, I would tell you to go back and find it and watch it. They may have put it up on their, maybe on their YouTube channel. Because this was a fucking great promo. Mostly by Sting, who basically gave Darby Allin the mother of all pep talks. I think every sports team should bring Sting into their locker room. If they're down by like a touchdown or something at halftime, you bring Sting into your locker room, full face paint, and just let him give your team a pep talk, and they'll go out there and score four touchdowns, like Al Bundy did in a single game. I mean, this was just a fantastic piece of business. So I love the way, and it's unfortunate that probably not a lot of people saw that segment, but I love the way they promoted the match. I love the match itself. I love the fact that Darby went over cleanly the way that he did. You know, one of the young pillars of the company, right? One of the AEW originals. One of the most popular stars in the entire company. MJF is the World Heavyweight Champion. Darby Allin is the TNT Champion. The Acclaimed are the Tag Team Champions. You can see the pieces are all there. I've talked about the nucleus, the young nucleus of this company before. I've talked about that. Jamie Hayter, right? The Women's Champion. They're in a good spot right now with the people that they have as the champions of their company and the faces of their brand. And now Darby Allin once again is the TNT champion. Speaking of the AEW world title and MJF, he was on the show tonight. He had a back and forth segment with Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson issued a challenge to MJF for a 60-minute Ironman match. Now, Bryan is going to have to overcome a whole bunch of hurdles at first. We've seen this play out before with MJF. Remember, he made the labors of Chris Jericho. We remember that when they feuded. He's going to end up putting Bryan through the very same thing. But it is going to build to an Ironman match at the Revolution pay-per-view in March, which is always a risk. You know, when you tell people in advance that you're going to go 60 minutes, it's not an easy thing. But if anybody can pull it off, it's Bryan Danielson. And we've seen him before have great 60-minute matches. But we also had a little bit more insight into the situation with Saraya. Everybody's been wondering, what's the mystery partner situation going to be with Saraya? Is it going to be a certain someone from outside the company? Are they going to go with somebody who's already on the roster? It looked like they were going to go with Toni Storm. We had a segment on the show tonight where Saraya chose Toni Storm to be her partner in LA at the Forum next week against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. But in doing so, she greatly disrespected Hikaru Shida, who was sitting right next to her, by literally turning around to Toni Storm and saying that she was the best wrestler in the company. I want you to be my partner. You're the best. Shida was sitting there looking completely disrespected. And if anybody believes that they're simply going to have Toni Storm as Saraya's partner next week, you're greatly mistaken. And one of the reasons that you are greatly mistaken is because before Dynamite even went on the air tonight. Well, actually, let's back up a little bit here. Because I was literally on YouTube only a few hours ago doing a review for Wrestle Kingdom. And to the surprise of absolutely nobody, we had the debut of Mercedes Moné. Sasha Banks is now officially a member of the, I mean, I guess you would say the New Japan roster for now, or Stardom. Stardom would be more appropriate. But she made her debut with the Tokyo Dome. She challenged Kairi to an IWGP Championship match next month. They're going to be having a show here in the States in San Jose, the Battle in the Valley, and so the stage is set. But she made a very interesting comment in the post-show press conference that I brought up on the review that I did a few hours ago. And she pointed out that this was the first stop on her world tour. And she said, you know, all of the fans of New Japan, you know, New Japan should be very, you know, lucky and fortunate that I chose them to appear first, right? Just all these words making it very clear that that was only the first stop of many on her so-called world tour. Well, there was a tweet that went up before Dynamite went live tonight, and I'm going to put it up on my screen right now for you. This is from Steve Mühlhausen, who is a reporter for DAZN, which is a network and a website that covers pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And according to his sources, Mercedes Varnado will be Saraya's partner next week on AEW Dynamite in LA against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. He says, could not announce or make a major hint due to her being still under WWE contract until the beginning of 2023. Which makes sense, because it wasn't until the first of the year that she officially became a free agent. So, you know, even if Tony Khan did sign her, you know, for the match, or just signed her, period, he wouldn't be able to announce that because that would be tampering. Not that WWE hasn't done that to him. But this is according to his sources that it will, in fact, be Mercedes as Saraya's partner. So just because they did the segment on TV tonight where she chose Toni Storm as her partner does not mean that Toni Storm will end up being her partner. It seemed pretty clear to me that as disrespected as Shida felt in that segment, Hikaru Shida will probably be taking Toni Storm out of the equation. And then Saraya is going to need a partner. And it looks like that partner is going to be Mercedes. That does not mean that Mercedes has signed a full-time contract with AEW. It just means that if his sources are correct, she will be the mystery partner next week, taking on Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. But if she's going to be in the match next week, it stands to reason that she would be doing more than just one match, I would think, with AEW. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the world of wrestling, in case you couldn't tell. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, January 4, 2023. I am the Solemn Monster. Before we go on here, I just want to extend condolences to Dustin Rhodes, who they mentioned this on TV, but I noticed it on social media earlier. His mother has been very sick, and she just passed away. So condolences to him and his family. And I know some people in the chat earlier were a little confused. He does not, well, I was going to mention, funny enough, look who just popped up on screen. There's Cody. He and Cody, I don't believe, share the same mother. So this would not be Cody's mom. But Dustin's mom did pass away. So condolences to him. And also Justin Roberts, I think this was the second or third show now, second or third week in a row that he has missed television. His mother has been in the hospital. His mother has been very sick. I don't know what her current status is, but apparently it's bad enough that he's had to miss the show. And so I hope everything works out well with him and his family in that situation. And I'm sure everybody is sending positive vibes. So let's get into Dynamite, because the show opened with Chris Jericho one-on-one with Absolute Ricky Starks. The crowd was saying that the crowd was super loud for this match would be an understatement. The crowd, by the way, tonight, this was their first time in the Seattle market. This crowd was unbelievable. There were moments in the show where the announcers were talking when certain people were making their entrance, and it was hard to hear what they were saying. So shout out to the crowd in Seattle. You guys were fucking great. But they were hot for Ricky Starks, in particular, here in this match. There was a spot early on where Jericho suplexed Ricky off the apron, and he took a hard bump on the floor heading into the commercial break. So Jericho controlled the entire break until Starks fired out of the corner with a lariat. Starks hit a sit-out Liger bomb for a near fall. Jericho came back with a lion salt attempt, but Ricky got the knees up. Starks tried a moonsault off the second rope, missed, and got planted with a code breaker. Starks blocked the Judas effect. Jericho blocked the Rochambeau and transitioned into a Walls of Jericho attempt. Now, he didn't get it on right away. I loved how they sold this because he was just milking it and milking it and milking it, trying to turn this guy over. Ricky was fighting it, and the crowd was getting louder and louder and louder until finally Jericho turned the move over and locked it in. As Starks was grabbing for the bottom rope, Angelo Parker of the JAS got the referee distracted. While that was going on, Matt Menard struck Ricky in the face with the baseball bat, Jericho's baseball bat. So when the referee turned around, didn't see what happened, and Ricky was out. So Aubrey Edwards dropped down to the mat. She picked up Ricky's arm once, it fell. Picked up Ricky's arm twice, it fell. Picked up Ricky's arm for a third time, it fell, but then he immediately picked it back up. And the crowd was pumped up. The crowd roared when he got the arm up. And I will tell you, they got me with that false finish. I thought we were getting a fuck finish. They had me. They had me convinced, but Ricky got out of it. He ended up getting a tornado DDT off the ropes. And he finished off Jericho with a spear and pinned him clean in the middle of the ring. And the crowd went crazy. He had no time to celebrate because here come the other members of the Jericho Appreciation Society. Here comes Hager in his stupid hat. And here comes Daniel Garcia and Anna Jay and Ty Mello and Sammy Guevara. How big is this fucking group, by the way? And Sammy Guevara, here he comes down. So they all attack him. Then out comes Action Andretti, who had his eye made up, because remember, he got a fireball to the face a couple of weeks ago. So Action Andretti, he hits the ring with a chair to clean house. As he's going to use the chair, Anna Jay grabs the chair out of his hand, and he turns around. Ty Mello then sneaks up behind him and gives Andretti a low blow. So now the JAS, they pounce on him, and they're kicking his ass now. And Menard and Parker, they set up a table outside the ring. Jake Hager then powerbomb Ricky Starks from the apron. Standing on the apron, powerbomb Ricky Starks down. He took a big bump through the table. He was left laying. So even though he won, he didn't look like much of a winner when this was over. The crowd was molten hot for this, and they were molten hot for Ricky Starks. I'm glad they did not give us the fuck finish. I'm very happy that they gave Ricky the clean win the way that they did. He needed that win. He's coming off a big loss to MJF, but the people are still with him. You never know how these things are going to go. When you're trying to really create and elevate a new star, sometimes one bad loss could be terribly damaging to them. But Ricky is over enough. The following week when he came out on TV, the people were still going nuts for him. But it's important he has to start winning matches. He can't just lose because the people like him. Oh, he can lose. He needed this win. And he got the win. It was the right outcome. It was the right call to make. Jericho now has lost three straight. He lost to Claudio at Final Battle. He lost to Action Andretti. And now he lost to Ricky Starks. And with the post-match, clearly they are setting up for a second match between these two. And that's fine. Because you know what's better than Ricky Starks beating Chris Jericho? Ricky Starks beating Chris Jericho twice. Tony Schiavone was in the ring for the following segment to introduce us to Hangman Adam Page. Came down to the ring. Huge ovation here from the crowd in Seattle. And Hangman said that as of today, he is in fact not medically cleared to compete. Which will make absolutely no sense to any of you when you find out that he is now scheduled for a match next week. But we'll get to that. So he said he was not medically cleared to compete. He said that if he takes the red eye home, and he can get cleared by a different doctor, he can have some more brain scans done, he could potentially be cleared by next week. And he's looking at Dr. Samson outside for, you know, approval. Like, okay, if I find another doctor and I get approved by next week, I can wrestle, right? So that's the out. I guess we couldn't see Dr. Samson, but I guess the doctor said, oh, yeah, sure, you can get cleared. Absolutely. So he told John Moxley that he doesn't care where they do the match. It doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to him. He'll fight him, and he will knock his dick in the dirt. Those were the words of Hangman Adam Page. He will knock his dick in the dirt. So that brought out John Moxley and his dick through the crowd into the ring. Moxley said that he was surprised that Page was even there tonight. He said that he's sick of the sympathy cards and the vigils that people are having for him. The crowd started chanting, "We can't hear you." And very loudly, until they got Moxley's attention. "We can't hear you." So Moxley dropped an F-bomb, asked for a new microphone. He had the mic. One of them worked, one of them didn't. I guess he kept the one that didn't. So then again, people are like, "We can't hear you," when he started, you know, trying to recut his promo all over again. So he got very flustered, dropped a second F-bomb until finally he got a mic that worked. And then he said, "Go Seahawks. Let's get this thing back on the rails here. Go Seahawks." And of course he got cheap pop for that. Everybody went nuts for the Seahawks plug. Nice Seahawks. Go Seahawks, says the Cincinnati Bengals fan. So Moxley mentioned Page being mad at him for knocking him out. And then Hangman took the mic. He said, "Look, I'm not mad at you for knocking me out. That's not the reason why I'm mad at you." He says that he's angry at how John called him out, didn't let him get a word in, and then joked about it. He joked at his expense. He said John nearly took his career and changed his life, and all he wanted to do was joke about it. And he said, "I know why." He said, "Because you feel threatened." He said he's had a month now to stew on what he said. He said he's got two in the chamber, both of them with Moxley's name on them. And he said Moxley is going to get them at the forum. So audio snafu aside, this was great stuff. Simple promo, but a very effective way, I think, to get people excited to see these two in the ring. And I'll tell you something else I like about this. They took a negative and they turned it into a positive, right? That was a very scary situation. And as we've seen this week, in other sports, unfortunately, shit happens sometimes that can be very, very scary. And that was a scary moment at the time when, you know, and we didn't know at first, oh, is it a work? Is it part of the, you know, part of the story of the match? We didn't know how, you know, badly Hangman was hurt. When you deal with concussions, you just never know how severe it can be. They took a negative, a very real injury. And what they have been able to do here is they have parlayed that now into an entire storyline where they can build to a major match on a very big show that they're going to have in LA on Dynamite next week. And the hatred between these two, whenever they share the ring together, these two are very good together. You know, they come off like they really do hate each other. So they've been able to take something negative and turn it into a positive, and I think that's very cool. We had the Acclaimed up next, defending their AEW tag team titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Max Caster's rap last week caused all kinds of problems, and how much of that was real, how much of that was all just the work, I don't know. I mean, it got pretty personal. Karen Jarrett was going off, she was popping off on social media. She was saying certain things that made me think that there was a lot of legitimate heat there. And I only say that because even though they're turning it, you know, it's been turned into an angle, because she was saying stuff that was implicating other people. I mean, she started going off on Kurt Angle cheating on her and intimated that, you know, he was banging Kelly and all these different people. And then Kelly had to post a tweet and said, look, you know, just because of all these rumors going around, me and Kurt, the only thing we ever had together is that we were coworkers. So, like, she got dragged into this. So it sounds like Karen Jarrett just, you know, she got very emotional about this. But nonetheless, they decided to kind of work it and weave it into the angle here. So Max Caster came out and he rapped. He took another shot at Karen Jarrett. And the rap ended with, TNA means total nonstop acclaim. So this was a good rap. The crowd was into it. Caster, here's what I loved about this, though. Caster, early in the match, right, he's in the ring, and he did an angle slam, and he mocked Jarrett. But remember the Kurt Angle spin that he used to do? He put his arms out, he would spin around in the ring. I'm talking, like, back in the day, like, original Three Eyes Kurt Angle, like, the way he would celebrate. So Caster is doing the Kurt Angle spin in the ring. He used the ankle lock. That was great. I thought that was fucking great. So Jay Lethal slapped Billy Gunn, and Billy got all fired up, and that ended up getting him ejected from ringside, which the fans were not happy about. Jarrett Lethal took control during the break until Lethal missed the top rope elbow on Bowens. Jarrett knocked Caster off the top rope to the floor, so that took him out of the picture for a while. Lethal got the figure four on Bowens. Satnam Singh was outside. And Satnam Singh threw Caster into the ring steps. The referee saw that and ejected him. Satnam Singh responded to this by flipping off the referee as Sanjay Dutt tried to calm him down. Referee had a call for reinforcements, so a whole army of referees came down to try to calm down Satnam Singh and try to get him to the back. While all of this was going on outside, Bowens in the ring countered a Lethal injection as Lethal bounced off the ropes and tried to hit the Lethal injection. Bowens blasted him in the back of the head with a forearm. But Jeff Jarrett hit the stroke. Lethal made the cover. He got the three count, even though Bowens, at the count of one, got his foot on the bottom rope. Referee didn't see it. And then before he could, Sanjay Dutt reached in and pushed the foot off the rope, and the referee counted three. So instantly, Dasha announces that the new AEW Tag Team Champions are Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. And the two of them start celebrating, and they got the belts, and they're going crazy, you know, like they just won the Super Bowl here. Well, because of all the referees being at ringside, Aubrey Edwards saw what happened. So Aubrey Edwards got in the ring, and she explained to the referee what happened, and they made a decision to have the match restarted. And everybody, yay, everybody was all happy. So the match was restarted. Lethal tried to roll up with his feet on the ropes. Caster, though, shoved them off from the outside. And Bowens got a roll up to win the match and retain the titles. This was overbooked to all hell, but it was fun. Sometimes overbooking can be fun. One of my favorite matches of all time was an overbooked mess. Okay, it was Steve Austin and Dude Love at Over the Edge back in 98. An absolute overbooked fucking mess and one of the most fun matches I've ever seen. I wouldn't say this was one of the most fun matches I've ever seen, but I think it worked. I thought this was a fun match for what it was here, which was clearly to set up a rematch that I don't think is needed, because we had a segment later on where they announced there's going to be a rematch on the Battle of the Belts live special that they're doing on Friday night. I don't know that this really is a rematch that anybody was asking for, but that's why they did the finish that they did. Tony Schiavone, in a pre-taped segment sit-down interview earlier, was interviewing Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker about their big tag team match at the Forum in LA next week against Saraya and her mystery partner. And Baker and Hayter, they called themselves AEW Originals and said that Saraya just doesn't get it. They said that they worked their way up to the top. Meanwhile, Saraya, despite being friends with Sheeta and Storm, still has not figured out who she wants her tag team partner to be. Said Saraya, maybe it, this is Britt speaking now. Said Saraya, maybe it was your house. says that Jamie is the champ, I'm the boss. She's the pillar, I'm the killer. The boss, you say? What is that? The boss? I'm sure that was just a coincidence that she used that word. Big Fat Pauly in the chat says, hood evening, folks. And then he says, good, yes. You put the H there where the G should have been. Hood evening. Hood evening, according to Big Fat Pauly. Big Fat Pauly has big fat fingers. He's hitting the wrong keys. Anyway, yes, the boss mentioned by Britt Baker was very interesting. We'll have more on this later. We had a segment later on in the show where we will we'll talk more about this. There was a promo in the back from Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. You know, one aspect of the new look that Dynamite has is the backstage setup is a lot nicer now because they have these basically like these giant LED boards with the colors on them behind them. So it just looks a lot brighter and a lot nicer. So Jungle Boy was standing there by himself looking into the camera, cutting a promo. And he talked about the issues that he's had recently with Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. Talked about next week's show being in his hometown, and he suggested that for one night, he and Hook take care of business. And at that point, Hook, in his hoodie, walked into camera view, didn't say anything, but it's going to be what they're dubbing as Jungle Hook. That's their name. Jungle Hook will be in action next week against Big Bill and Mr. Moriarty. We have Brian Danielson, the American Dragon, one-on-one with Tony Nese. A deafening reaction for Danielson when he came out here in his home state. Right, he's from Aberdeen. This was in Seattle, but close enough. They were in his home state, and these people loved him. I have not heard him get a reaction like this in a very long time. So this was a total squash, which was fine. This was basically a warm-up match for Danielson. It was a match to give him a reason to be in the ring in Washington. And the people were very happy to see him in the ring, even if it was only for 3 minutes. And I love that he won the match with a regal stretch. Now, after the match was over, Danielson told the crowd that it was great to be home. He said that he was feeling froggy, and so he decided to call out MJF for another fight. So the AEW World Champion makes his entrance to, you know, he got deafening cheers coming out. It was deafening heat for MJF when he made his way out. And he stayed on stage. So we had the split screen with the dueling promos, MJF on stage, and Danielson was in the ring. MJF referred to Danielson yet again as Brain Damage Brian. And he declined his invitation to step in the ring and wrestle tonight. Said that he gets a big check regardless of whether he wrestles or not. He said that if Lance Storm and Dean Malenko had a child, that it would still be more charismatic than Bryan Danielson. And he cracked that Danielson really does look like a goat. He suggested that Danielson's mother was unable to find a human suitor. So Danielson came back and said that everybody in the locker room jokes about just how many human suitors that MJF's mother has had. So then MJF mocked the idea of journalists and marks who live in their mother's basement. Marks in their mother's basement. Ha ha ha, I haven't heard that one before. Marks in their mother's basement calling Danielson the best in the world. MJF said that people like Disco Inferno, Eric Bischoff, and even his number one fan, Jim Cornette, have all sung his praises before. As soon as he started rattling off names, and I knew there was one name left, I knew it was going to be Cornette. I just knew it was going to be Cornette. So Danielson told him to shut up and said that he thinks it's time for them to fight. MJF said that if Danielson wants a shot at the championship, he has to become the number one contender first. And MJF said that he spoke with Tony Khan in the back. And Tony Khan said that if Danielson were to wrestle on television every single week between now and February 8th, so basically a month straight every week wrestling on Dynamite, and he could win each one of his matches, MJF would make him the number one contender for the AEW World title. He would give him a title match March 5th. At the Revolution pay-per-view. And Danielson said, no, I'm going to give you a taste of your own medicine. You said you don't want to fight me right now. You told me no. I'm going to tell you no. And Danielson, well, MJF went off on him after this, before I get to that. He said that Tony Khan doesn't run this company. The EVPs don't run this company. He says he runs this company. He said that his lawyer, Mark Sterling, would see to it then that Danielson did not get a title shot. And MJF said that it's his way or no way at all. Danielson said that Mark Sterling is a terrible lawyer, but he said that he would humor MJF. He would humor him by agreeing to his stipulations, so long as MJF agreed to let him choose the stipulation for their match at Revolution. And he said that the stipulation for their match at Revolution, it would be a match where MJF would not be able to get himself disqualified to keep his title, because if he were to get himself disqualified, it would actually hurt his chances of keeping the championship. And as soon as he said that, I knew exactly where this was going. And sure enough, Danielson made the announcement that he is going to challenge MJF to a 60-minute Iron Man match at Revolution. And the people cheered, and MJF had this very concerned look on his face. Danielson asked him if he was scared. And MJF no-sold it and said, "God damn it, you're on." And the people cheered. He told Danielson that he's choked whenever he's gotten a big opportunity in AEW. Danielson said that he would run through every opponent that MJF puts in front of him, and then he will kick his head in at Revolution. And I will tell you that the first opponent next week that Bryan Danielson is going to be stepping into the ring with, I'm already loving this, is Konosuke Takeshita. So we are going to get Danielson and Takeshita in LA at the Forum live next week on Dynamite. That's going to be fucking great. That could be a Wrestle Kingdom match. You could have put that match in the Tokyo Dome and it would have gotten 5 stars. Can't wait for that. I actually thought this promo, I didn't think it was bad back and forth. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but I thought it was very long-winded. I didn't think this had to be as long as it was. You could have shaved a little bit of time off this and still gotten the stipulations at a major point. But the thing is, you know, the crowd was so damn hot for anything that Danielson said or did. I mean, you could have kept him out there for half the show. I don't think these people would have minded. So it worked. In front of this crowd, it worked. You could have kept him out there for another 10 minutes. It wouldn't have mattered. But it was a really fun exchange. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, the thing about Iron Man matches, when you announce them in advance, if you have a match with two people, like Josh Alexander and Speedball Mike Bailey, right? They had a 60-minute match on Impact about a month ago. Really good, right? Didn't make my top 15 matches, but I made sure I watched it before. It was a really good match. Nobody knew that that match was going to be 60 minutes. They went out there, they had a match, and by the end, people were surprised that they were in there for that long. But if you don't tell people in advance that the match is going to go that long, I think that works to your advantage. When you tell people, okay, this match is going 60 no matter what, you're already handicapping yourself, because people know the first half of the match, you know, it really doesn't matter, right? Because the real drama doesn't come until the final 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. So that's the one drawback about when you announce that there's going to be an Iron Man match, is that it you know, for a lot of people, I think it really does kind of kill the drama of it. There are ways to do it, I think, to make it more exciting, but the first half of the match is just generally very missable. But we've seen Bryan Danielson pull this off before. We saw him and Hangman Page just last year, right? Have an incredible match on the very first Dynamite of the year. That was a rematch from their hour-long match the previous month, which was actually, I guess, 2 years ago now. And that was an incredible match. That 1 hour match they had was fucking great. So Bryan Danielson is still one of the best wrestlers in the world. I have no doubt that if anybody can pull this off and make it exciting, it's him. But that's the challenge when you announce something like this in advance. We had Swerve Strickland one-on-one with AR Fox, or as us Lucha Underground fans would like to refer to it, Killshot against Dante Fox. If you know, you know. The live crowd was hot for Swerve because he's from Tacoma, even though he's supposed to be the heel. Another one of these hometown boys. That's why they all got matches on the show. Tony Khan wanted Danielson to get a match. He wanted Swerve to get a match. And he wanted Darby in the main event because they're all from the area. They're all from Washington State. Darby is actually from Seattle. So it was a hometown night because every single one of them won their match. The complete opposite of what would happen in the other company. They gave them their hometown people, and they all won. So the fans went home happy tonight. Fox hit a 450 splash for a near fall. And Dante, or AR, I can't call him Dante, AR, placed Strickland on the top rope. And he climbed up behind him. While one member of, I don't remember which one it was, one of the members of Strickland's new posse, one of his new associates, Parker Boudreaux and the tattoo guy, one of his associates distracted the referee. The other one passed the weapon to Swerve, who hit Fox with it. Strickland then hit a Death Valley driver onto the apron, which was a sickening bump. And then he rolled him back into the ring. Swerve went up top, hit the double stomp, and scored the pin. There was no reason to think that Fox really had a chance here. He still really hasn't been established on this show. He's not part of a storyline the way Swerve is right now. Swerve is the one with the new faction. I mean, everything is, you know, everything is pointing towards, okay, the push is for Swerve. So the outcome was not in doubt, but anytime you get these two in the ring, you know you're going to get something special. And this match was great. This match was not, it was shorter, actually, than I would have liked for it to be. But again, the whole point of the match was for it to be semi-competitive. But ultimately, it just be a vehicle to get Swerve over. It's like Danielson in the 3 minutes that he had with Tony Nese, right? At least they gave this more than that. They gave this more than 3 minutes. But this was all about Swerve. I love how Swerve is being highlighted on this show. I really do. And I think I made a comment the other week. I think he will be a top heel in this company. Not just a heel, a top heel in this company. If not a champion, I can see him as the TNT champion easily sometime this year. I think Swerve is doing great right now. And for all the talk about Hit Row on SmackDown, what's missing from Hit Row? Why is Hit Row failing so badly? I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. But the main reason is because this is not the Hit Row that got over in NXT. It was Swerve who was kind of the glue that held that group together. And he is missing. And he should be very fortunate that he is missing, and he is not part of that. Because I think he is doing much better for himself here in AEW. So for Swerve, that's a good thing. Not so much for Hit Row. But for Swerve, this is the right place for him to be. So I said we were going to be coming back to the women's stuff. And actually, before I get into the women's stuff, let me just give a shout out to all the people joining here. Thank you all for the super chats. We're going to be going through those here in a little bit. And we are nearing the likes goal. We're not at 350 yet, but if we hit 350, we will do Be the Booker. So we are less than 50 away from that. But thank you for those of you who are with me for the second time here this evening, my second live stream. So Renee was conducting a sit-down interview with Saraya, Toni Storm, and Hikaru Shida. And Renee asked Saraya the million-dollar question. Who's going to be your partner next week in LA? And Saraya gave this very long-winded, she sounded like a politician, right? Instead of getting to the point and answering the question, she just went on and on and on and on and on about how great this woman is and how great this woman is and how great the whole division is. And it's just like, just shut up and get to the point. So finally, she gets to the point. She turns to Toni Storm and she tells her that she wants her to be her partner because she thinks she's the best or one of the best. I forgot exactly how she phrased it. But when she said that and she picked Toni and turned her body to Toni because they were all sitting side by side by side, Shida had a look on her face like she just felt completely disrespected. She couldn't believe what she was hearing and she was being ignored. Saraya is looking at Toni. I can't wait, you know, for you to be my partner next week. Toni Storm spoke for a little bit and talked about how she broke her face in the match with Jamie Hayter and she's not done with them. And Shida, you know what it reminded me of? If you remember the WrestleMania 8 press conference, and they had all the wrestlers up sitting next to each other on stage. Who's going to be announced as the challenger for Ric Flair's title at WrestleMania? Hogan was there, Sid, Savage, Piper, Undertaker. There may have been one other person. I don't remember who it was, but they announced Hogan would be the guy to challenge Flair. And then the camera zoomed in on Sid. He got all angry, right? He was all pissed off about it. That's basically what they did here. This was a very similar type of angle here, right? Sid felt very disrespected. How come he gets it? I deserve it. I should get it, right? Sheeta had that kind of look on her face. If you are late to the stream, this is the tweet that I put up from earlier from Steve Muehlhausen of DAZN, who was saying that according to his sources, it will not be Toni Storm, but it will be Mercedes Varnado as Saraya's partner in LA on Dynamite next week against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Now, this tweet went up before Dynamite. I don't think that anything has changed. In fact, watching this segment, it seems pretty clear to me that I would think the plan would be for Sheeta, being disrespected, to attack Toni Storm either before the match, or maybe Toni Storm starts the match. They really want to swerve people, and they start the match, but then Sheeta gets involved, and Toni Storm gets taken out. Now it's a handicap match. Saraya's all by herself, 2-on-1. She needs help, right? And you know the crowd's going to start chanting, Mercedes, Mercedes, and maybe that's how they do it, right? And then they play her music, and out she comes. But it seems pretty clear to me now that Mercedes Moné will be making her AEW debut in LA next week. I'd be very shocked now if she doesn't. I would have been 100% confident in saying that had they just left it alone after the first segment and we still didn't know who Saraya's partner was going to be. Then I would have said for sure it's going to be Mercedes. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. But then Tony Khan went and announced Toni Storm. I think that's smart. I like that. I think that's very smart. Because when CM Punk debuted in Chicago, right, he never announced that CM Punk was going to be on the show. Everybody assumed that this was about Punk. Tony Khan knew that everybody thought it was Punk. He didn't have to say the word Punk a single time. And he still got 15,000 people in the United Center and over 1 million people to watch Rampage. The only time that has ever and will ever happen again. Similar situation here. I'm not saying it's as big of a deal or you know, it's going to set the internet ablaze like Punk did. I'm just saying Tony Khan does not have to announce Mercedes, right? The AEW fan base is already talking about her. She herself is already teasing that she's on a world tour. She's going to be popping up in multiple places. It just so happens that Saraya, who has a history with this woman, needs a partner next week. Now she has a partner, right? But now you can let people know, okay, well, she's got a partner now, but kind of wink, wink, may not work out that way. When they announce her or they play her music and she comes out, I think it'll actually help make for an even bigger reaction, especially if she comes to her aid in the middle of the match when it's 2-on-1. So I actually like that. I think it's smart. Of course, I'll look stupid if she doesn't show up and it's just Toni Storm and Saraya next week, but I can't imagine that's how it's going to go down. So that is where things stand. They did not announce Mercedes, but it seems pretty clear now that that is where we are headed next week. And good for her. Good for her. She's a free woman, right? She's gonna go wherever she wants now. She's going to work wherever, whenever. I don't think that she's necessarily signing a full-time contract with AEW. I'm sure more details will leak in the coming days about this. I don't think it would be just for a one-shot. But do I see her signing some sort of deal where she can make appearances in AEW while still being able to do other stuff, you know, other than WWE? Absolutely. She can work any independent show that she wants to, right, if she wanted to. She'll do the stuff with New Japan and with Stardom. If there's any other place that she wants to work, she'll have the freedom to do so. After being under contract to WWE now for the past, what? How long has she been under contract there for? 7 years? Probably 7 or 8 years? This woman now has the freedom to go out and really just make a name for herself on her own without the WWE machine behind her anymore. I think eventually she'll end up back in WWE. I said in my predictions for 2023, I think before this year is over, she'll be back in WWE. But in the meantime, she's going to be popping up in a whole bunch of different places. Her coming out in the Forum in LA, one of the biggest Dynamites all year, would be a hell of a way for her to make her debut in AEW. We had Austin and Colton Gunn, the Gunn Boys, making their way out in their street clothes. There was a graphic on the big screen behind them with a picture of FTR. It said FTRIP, May 27, 2020 to December 21st, 2022. In the ring, they had photos of Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler with black reeds. And the Guns held a funeral for FTR, and they asked the crowd for a moment of silence. FTR's music hit. Hey, you know what? Let's pause for a second here. Joey just made a very interesting point in the chat that I had not considered about the tag team match next week. That's a very good point. Joey says, what if Sheeta partners up with Mercedes in AEW? I hadn't thought about adding another team to the match to make it a three-way. Maybe out of, you know, again, out of frustration, she's offended at the fact that Saraya would not pick her as her partner. So maybe instead of attacking Toni Storm, Sheeta shows up and says, I have a partner of my own. And then out comes Mercedes and we get a three-way tag team match. That's a very interesting idea. That you may be right about that. You, Joey, you may have hit on something there. You may have hit on something there. Because look, Sheeta now feels left out. She's sitting there. She's like the last kid to get picked for the dodgeball team. You know, she's like, what, you don't think I'm worthy enough? You don't think I'm good enough to be your tag team partner? Fuck you. I'll show you. I'm going to go out and find a partner of my own. And we're going to beat you. You may be right. We'll find out. But anyway, so the Guns are in the ring holding a funeral for FTR. And FTR's music hits. That would be one hell of a quick trip back to the States if they made it all the way over from Tokyo. I mean, I guess it would have been possible, but they were not there. They were not there, and they laughed about it, and they laughed, and they said, to, you know, the crowd, you fell for it. They said, FTR will never work in AEW again because they are the true living legends. We had Jade Cargill and Red Velvet taking on Sky Blue and Kiera Hogan. Jade put a beating on Sky Blue. Sky Blue escaped a press slam, made the tag to Hogan, who was promptly flattened by the Eye of the Storm. Jade was trash-talking her own partner and tapping on her head and seemed insulted when the referee told her that that was a legal tag. And Hogan quickly took Red Velvet down with a sliding dropkick in the corner. Velvet fell into her own corner and Jade made the tag and then laid out Sky Blue and Kiera with kicks. Choke slam on Hogan. She went to her corner, and Red Velvet, instead of making the tag, Red Velvet dropped down off the apron. She pulled a Sid on Hogan, to go back to the story I mentioned earlier. She dropped down and basically abandoned her own partner, but it didn't matter, because Jade still wiped out Hogan with a pump kick, and she pinned her and got the win. So this was a very average, standard, you know, tag team match. Half of it happened in the picture-in-picture break. As is usually the case with whatever match they put in that segment on the show. But, you know, it served a purpose. It was to further the story of Red Velvet breaking away from Jade Cargill. Jade is going to be defending her title on the Battle of the Belts special on Friday night, not against Red Velvet, but against Sky Blue. And then we had the main event for the TNT Championship. We had the King of Television, Samoa Joe, putting his title on the line. Yet another Dynamite main event. No complaints out of me. Could be his last, unfortunately. But he defended the title here against the hometown boy, Darby Allin. And again, if you did not see that promo, that backstage promo, it was in a hallway. They aired it on Rampage last Friday. Sting was just firing up Darby, yelling at him. Darby was doubting himself, talking about how nobody believes I can do it. And Sting just talks some sense into him and says, who cares? The only thing that matters is what Darby Allin thinks. Now go out there and win that championship. It was such a great fucking promo. How old is Sting now? Sting's what, 63? I mean, we know that Sting can still work. He still takes crazy bumps and does stage dives. But even when he's not able to do that anymore, if he still has that voice, Sting is a great fucking promo. I've always said that. Even when he was in WWE, I said Sting is a great promo. The guy can deliver the goods on the mic. So if you did not see that segment, make sure you go back and watch that. But Darby came out by himself, no Sting. He came down to the ring, and he immediately went over to the guardrail at ringside, and he hugged Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne was in the crowd. Nick Wayne is 17 years old. He is the son of Buddy Wayne, who was a wrestler who passed away. Excalibur said, I think he passed away about 5.5 years ago. I remember Buddy Wayne from the appearances that he used to make on the old F4W podcasts with Brian Alvarez. But he passed away a number of years ago. But Darby is the one who presented Nick Wayne with a contract. This was either last year or the year before. He presented Nick Wayne with an AEW contract. Now, it doesn't officially take effect, I think, until either later this year or next year, because until he turns 18, he can't officially sign that contract and start working for AEW. But he's basically signed, and when he turns 18, he's going to start working for AEW. He's been wrestling on independent shows now for quite some time. He's only 17 years old, and he's like a 17-year-old prodigy. I've only seen very little of his work. But what I have seen, he was impressive. But people talk about him like he's some kind of young phenom. And if he's that good at 17, imagine what he'll be in a few years from now and then a few years after that. But apparently he and Darby were childhood friends. And Buddy Wayne is the one who trained Darby. So that's the connection between them. So they hugged at ringside, which is unfortunate for young Nick Wayne here, because Samoa Joe saw that. And Samoa Joe, when he came down to the ring, he grabbed Nick Wayne by the throat. He goozled him. Darby saw this. Darby hit his suicide dive out, bounced off Joe. And Darby attacked Joe with his skateboard. Joe was trying to escape. He made it all the way, you know, on the side of the ramp. He was on the floor, but like around the ramp. Now they're by the stage area, right? Darby is still hitting him with the skateboard. So Darby goes up onto the stage. He goes to the back. He comes out with a giant ladder. And now Joe is on the ramp. He's down. And Darby sets up the ladder. And Darby climbs to the very top of the ladder. And he does a crazy dive off the top. And he nails Joe on the way down. It looked like Darby got his knees caught underneath him on the landing. He's lucky he didn't tear out both of his ACLs. He's lucky he didn't blow out both of his knees. The man is made of jelly, I'm convinced. So he brings Joe back to the ring. Referee finally calls for the bell. So now we are officially underway. Now this TNT Championship match is officially underway. Joe escaped to the floor again. Darby dives off the apron at Joe, right? They're standing kind of where the ring steps are. Darby jumps off. Joe catches him in a uranage position, the rock bottom. And he gives him a uranage on the steps, not on the flat part of the steps, on the edge of the steps. He gave this man a rock bottom. Darby is out of his fucking mind, but we already knew that. You don't need me to tell you that. You already know that by watching this man out of his fucking mind. I watched that and I just thought to myself, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? What are you doing out there? During the picture-in-picture, Joe ran Darby, who was up on the apron now, ran him headfirst into the ring post, and Darby did this twisting, like a twisting bump off the apron to the floor. You know, when these two get together, it is very, very hazardous for Darby's health. I think Darby just waking up in the morning and getting out of bed is hazardous, because you don't know what this guy is going to do, right? He's always doing something stupid. But when these two are in the ring, it is very, very hazardous for Darby's health and his wrestling future. So Darby got a sleeper hold applied. Joe fell backwards, though, with all of his weight to break the hold. Darby slipped out of a muscle buster attempt. He pushed Joe forward into the corner. And Joe grabbed the top turnbuckle as Darby was trying to pull him out of the corner. He's pulling and pulling, and finally Joe yanks off the top turnbuckle pad. And he gets taken over for a German suplex, and the pad went flying, which would come back to bite Joe in the ass. Because 2 minutes later, he went face first into the exposed steel. Darby hit a huge code red on Joe. Joe took a great fucking bump for this code red. I mean, it was a picture-perfect code red. And then Darby went up top. He hit the coffin drop to the spine of Joe. Joe then rolled over onto his back. Darby went up into another corner, came off, and hit the coffin drop right across the chest. And he covered Joe, and he pinned him. And Darby Allin, for the second time in his career, once again, is the TNT champion. He defeats Joe. He does the deed in his hometown of Seattle. He is the champion again. They shoot confetti. I think it was out of the ring posts or whatever, but they shoot confetti into the air in celebration. And the biggest surprise of all of this to me is the fact that he did it cleanly in the middle of the ring by himself. There was no distraction or interference from Wardlow, ref bump. Yeah, I was imagining, okay, there'll be a ref bump, and Joe is going to try to use the TNT title or some foreign object to attack Darby. Here comes Wardlow to even the score, right? I mean, that seemed to be the most predictable finish, because the last time we saw Wardlow, he got fucked over by Samoa Joe and had his ponytail cut off. But there was no Wardlow. This was clean. They put Darby over clean here with his move in the middle of the ring. And that was so much better. So much better. So I thought that finish was great. It was much better that way. Wardlow didn't factor into any of this at all. Sting came down to the ring. He hugged Darby. He looked more excited than Darby was. He looked like a proud papa standing in the middle of this ring. And so Sting is celebrating with Darby. The fans are going nuts, celebrating his son's big win. What a great way to go off the air. What a great way to close out the night. I do believe that was Joe's first loss, I believe. But, you know, again, when I say clean, he didn't need anybody else's help. He didn't need Sting. He didn't need Wardlow. So this was a huge win for Darby Allin here at the end of this show. Sent the crowd home happy, seeing yet another hometown boy pick up the W. I am sad that Joe is not the champion anymore. I don't disagree with the outcome. I like Darby Allin as TNT champion. He was over big time last time he was the champion. I even said last week he was a bit of a ratings draw. His segments actually went up when they would put him in main events when he was defending the TNT title. And that was a long time ago. I don't know if the same thing will happen now. Generally, as the show goes on, the main events actually do a lower number. But I am sad that Joe is no longer the champion. I was enjoying... Yeah, it makes me wonder if Tony Khan wants to put some distance now between Joe and AEW, because he's got the Ring of Honor television title. Ring of Honor is supposed to be getting a weekly show sometime early this year. I don't know if it'll be this month. I don't know if it'll be next month, but it should be happening soon. They're going to put the show on Honor Club, and Joe is the Ring of Honor television champion. So Samoa Joe may be appearing more in ROH going forward than he will in AEW. I'm not sure. It just makes me wonder if that's one of the reasons why they took the title off of him. But, you know, it's been a treat. It's been a treat to see the Joe of old, right? He's been healthy. He's been consistently on television. He's heel Joe. I mean, come on. There's nothing better than that, right? When you put him in the ring with somebody like Darby, who could just bump all over the place for him, it just makes Joe look like this just unstoppable fucking beast. He's been great. Joe has been fantastic, and I would hate to think that just because he lost the title here, it means we're not going to get to see him as much anymore. I hope that's not the case. But that did, you know, him having the ROH belt did make me wonder if maybe that's part of Tony Khan's game plan here. I thought this was just an absolute fire episode of Dynamite tonight, one of the best episodes of Dynamite in months that they have done. This felt like one of the early editions of Dynamite, where everything is just firing on all cylinders. It's just fun. The 2 hours go by like that. They called this the start of a new era because it was a new look with some new graphics and a new set. it felt like, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, pushing the reset button. Let's start this year off hot. Let's start this year off on the right foot. And they got another big show next Wednesday. But this show tonight, I thought, was just outstanding. And consider what we saw tonight here on this show. We had Chris Jericho putting over Ricky Starks. We had Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal putting over The Acclaimed. Now, we're probably going to get a rematch from both of those things. We already know we're getting the tag team rematch on Friday. So maybe I should reserve praise until we see what happens in that match. But Jericho puts over Starks. Jarrett and Lethal, the veterans, right, put over The Acclaimed. We had Joe putting over Darby. We have Sting coming out at the end of the night to hug Darby and endorse him in front of the live crowd. This is the proper way to make use of your veteran talent. Tony Khan has figured out the correct way to use the veterans to help put over this current and next generation of young talent in this company. People like MJF, people like Darby Allin, people like Jungle Boy, right? Christian Cage was working with Jungle Boy and probably would have put him over until he got hurt. And when Christian is ready to come back, they'll revisit that program. The pairing of Sting and Darby, I said from day one, was genius. It was one of the best decisions Tony Khan ever made, was putting Sting with Darby. Those two were great together. This is the correct way to use your veteran talent to help get over the young stars on your roster. You cannot say, you know, when people make comparisons to TNA and other companies like that, a very different situation. TNA had their own kind of core of young talent, whether it was Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, right, Christopher Daniels, people like that, Joe. But a lot of the focus was on the established talent, right? It was who was really, you know, in the later 2000s, it was all about Hogan. It was all about, and Kurt Angle was great, don't get me wrong, but Kurt Angle was a WWE guy, right? He was a veteran guy. It was all about Hogan and Angle, and they brought in Booker T, and they had, you know, Kevin Nash, and they flooded the show with all of these big names that came from WWE or WCW, Scott Steiner. In AEW, they have mastered the art of being able to take people like that but not feature them at the forefront. And you could say, well, yeah, they did that with Jericho, but now they have seemingly found a good rhythm here. And I think it puts them in a very good position heading into the new year because you're going to want to put these younger guys over and establish them as stars that people will look at some point on the same level as a Chris Jericho, on the same level as a Samoa Joe and people like that. The only way you can do that is by putting them over and featuring them consistently and giving people a reason to care. Let them go out there and win. And that's what they did tonight. And I like that. I'd like to see more of that going forward this year. Now, the lineup for Rampage on Friday night. Got a live Rampage and a live Battle of the Belts back-to-back. Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley take on Top Flight. Perro Peligroso, which is the new name of the now former Preston Vance of the Dark Order. He'll be in action. And Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter will take on the Renegade Twins. Charlotte, not that Charlotte. Charlotte, I know, she's everywhere. Charlotte and Robin Renegade. Immediately after Rampage, they're having a one-hour live Battle of the Belt special. It's going to be the Acclaimed defending their tag team titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal in a no-holds-barred match. Jade Cargill defends the TBS title against Sky Blue. And Orange Cassidy will defend the AEW All-Atlantic title against Kip Sabian. So yet another one of these Battle of the Belt shows where, you know, I mean, these are not exactly the best of the best when it comes to their championship matches here. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch that live. We'll be talking about SmackDown on Friday night, and then we'll talk about Battle of the Belts on Sunday. But then Dynamite next week is in LA. Big show next week at the Forum. We get match 7, game 7, in the best of 7 series between the Elite and Death Triangle for the Trios titles. It will be a ladder match, Escalera de la Muerte for the Trios titles. Jon Moxley takes on Hangman Adam Page, so that match is now official, even though Hangman is still not officially cleared. Saraya and Toni Storm take on Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Bryan Danielson takes on Konosuke Takeshita, which honestly, that may be the match I'm looking forward to the most next week. And Jungle Boy and Hook team up to take on Lee Moriarty and Big Bill. Yeah, Mr. Dynamite says all. Mr. Dynamite, I think you nailed it. It's not Battle of the Belts, it's Battle of the Mid-Card Belts. Yeah. Not something that's worth going out of your way to watch unless you absolutely want to. One of the things I would like to see Tony Khan do this year is make that show worth watching. Give us some big championship matches on that show. I know it's not a great time slot. If it just feels to me like, okay, we got the slot, it's not great, we have an obligation, so we'll just put some of our mid-card titles on there. That's really all it is. That's really all it feels like. Why not have MJF on one of these things? Put his belt on the line against someone, you know, someone who probably will not win the championship, but, you know, we don't get to see MJF wrestle very often. He's an attraction. I don't see anything wrong with having him defend his title on one of these Battle of the Belt shows. Right? Pick somebody that you wouldn't ordinarily see him in the ring with to have him go out there and defend his title against. Why not? What harm would that do? Here's a Twitter poll. 82% thumbs up. We haven't seen a score like this for Dynamite, I feel like, in a while. 82.5% thumbs up. 10% thumbs in the middle, just 7% thumbs down. An excellent episode of Dynamite tonight. Go chime in at Solomonster on Twitter. Let me know what you thought of tonight's show. If you agree, do you agree with these results? Because I do. Let's take a look at your super chats. I will be reading your messages now. Thank you all, especially the big ones that have come out tonight, including that 50 spot here from JM before I even went live. And thank you, by the way, to everybody who also dropped a super chat on the Wrestle Kingdom stream earlier this evening. That's some of the super chats you see here. I have to figure out how far back I should go now. Let's see. I think we ended right about here. No, right about here. There we go. There we go. And we did hit our like skull, so thank you for that, guys. We will be doing Be the Booker here in just a little bit, so bear with me. Tyler, drop it a couple of super chats. Tyler dropping more than a couple of super chats. Tyler dropping 4 super chats. He is going to his first AEW show on Friday. Well, enjoy. You're going to have fun. It's your first one. Your first live show, and you haven't been to one before, is always fun. Who do I want to see return in both Royal Rumbles? Who do I want to see return in the Royal Rumble? Well, my one of my main predictions was that we're going to see the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin in Texas to set up whatever his WrestleMania match is going to be. So, does that count as a return? You know, last year I thought we'd see Sean Waltman make a cameo in the Royal Rumble. That could still happen, right? I'm sure Triple H would love to book a Sean Waltman cameo in the Royal Rumble match. But I mean, as far as a full-time return, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I'd still like for them to save some surprises. You're the best, he says. Well, thank you. That's very nice of you. And Mercedes has reportedly signed with AEW. So proud. Yes, indeed. We covered that earlier in the stream. Uffman Entertainment with a couple of super chats. Going on record, if Mercedes is Soraya's partner next week, I will gift a membership to someone. That's very bold of you. I'm like Justin or Joshua, who have gifted dozens of memberships. Uffman will gift one, but that's very kind of him. And says, well, no membership for anyone. Well, again, I would not count on Tony Storm being the partner. Jay Baker, Sheeta heel turn incoming. New set is okay. Iru, Saraya shunned Sheeta and picked Tony. I think Sheeta takes out Tony and we get Mercedes with Saraya since Britt dropped the I'm the boss look. You are very perceptive. Tuxedo T-Servo, all in for the Sheeta heel turn. Vicious Sheeta is what is best for business. You don't want to piss off those Joshi ladies, man. They'll fuck you up. Hydrograd57 with the $10 super chat. Live at the show tonight. Had lots of fun. Tony Khan just called us one of the best crowds in AEW history. Well, I'll call you the same thing. Seattle was one of the best crowds in AEW history. Seattle was fucking great. TV side note, he says, Seattle needs another WrestleMania. It's been a long time, right? 2000, it's been almost 20 years. No, actually, this is 20 years. Yeah, this is 20 years since WrestleMania 19. Would it be at Safeco Field, or is there some other stadium they'd be able to run? JM with the $50 super chat from earlier. JM, you are a beast. Great moment with Darby and the title win in front of that crowd. Excalibur stumbling and screaming through three cards over it. Took a little bit away from it for me. Could have just laid out or added to the Darby story while the match graphics face. Yeah. I mean, I don't even mention it anymore. I've talked about how ridiculous it is. Everybody kind of jokes about it now like it's some kind of cute thing, him ramming through the card. I just think it's so fucking stupid. How is anybody supposed to process any? Especially that tonight was even worse because he had three cards, right? Rampage, Battle of the Belts, and Dynamite next week to run through. I mean, it's stupid just when he has Rampage and Dynamite to run through. They think it's funny to, you know, have him do his best Micro Machines Man impersonation there. I just think it's very stupid. Nick Grosso with the $9.99. That can't be the mystery partner reveal. Got to be a swerve. How disrespectful to Sheeta. Would anyone boo her if she turned heel after that? If she attacked somebody the people like, then yes, they would boo her. Austin Runge. Best Dynamite of the year so far. Seriously, how is Darby's neck not broken after all that ass rolled on his head? You know, that reminds me, Jeremy Renner got run over by his snowplow. And somehow he survived, which is crazy, but great, right? I'm happy to hear that he survived, but yeah, that was a crazy story. He's very fortunate to be alive and conscious right now. Dan Richard, I don't know why you mentioning ass rolling over his head made me think of Jeremy Renner. Dan Richards with the $3 super chat. This crowd was sweetened so much they all have cavities. I might spend $50 for MJF and Daniel Bryan Iron Man match. I hate giving the elite money. Tough choice. JM with another $10 super chat. I see Britt cut another unwarranted babyface. We're AEW originals. We love AEW promo. So when does she and Jamie take out Tony Storm, forcing Saraya to bring Mercedes into this program? Well, that would be next week. Shaquille Oatmeal, Happy New Year, Solo. Who can you see being the first black AEW World Heavyweight Champion? My vote is for Swerve. I don't see Swerve doing it. I just think there's too many people ahead of him where, I don't know, I just don't think it'll happen. But if it did, like I said, I think he'll be a top heel this year in the company. I think that would be great. Swerve, it could be Powerhouse Hobbs if they really get serious about pushing him. Like they have Ricky Starks, right? I think it's great they're pushing Ricky Starks, but I hope that you know, they keep that same energy for Powerhouse Hobbs. Deep, delicious chicken and turkey with flavor. Watching Wrestle Kingdom 17 right now. Make sure when you are done that you check out my review so you know whether to like the show or not. Lamar Smith with a $9.99. What do you think of Cody and Seth in a triple threat with Roman at WrestleMania with The Rock as the special referee? You have Cody and Seth both pin Roman to split the belts. No, absolutely not. You're going to do a double pin finish in the main event of WrestleMania? Absolutely not. I cannot agree with that. Old Dirty Sausage. I know AEW got a lot of criticism in 2022, but when they put on shows like this, I can't help but come back every single Wednesday. Hey, like I said, it reminded me of those old Dynamites of old that, you know, were really must-see for a lot of people. And it just had a certain vibe and a certain energy to it. Tonight's show had that same energy. Hydrograd 57. House of Black just wrestled on Dark Elevation. I get that they can't fit everybody in 2 hours, but ouch. Yeah, that's no good. Dick the Cock Johnson with the $4.99. Sheeta sticking around on TV is nice, although I don't see Tony getting cheered over her if they turn her heel. Ant McCall with the $25. I'm going to give you the yes. I think that's worthy. I think that's worthy. Thank you, Ant. I've heard no one say this, so why not me? Prediction for this year. Let's have a first for the Golden E Women's Blood and Guts. AEW Homegrown against Not So Homegrown. I don't see that happening, but if there were to be a program worthy of that, look, my attitude is this. If you have a feud with the men that is happening on TV that is worthy of a blood and guts match, then you go with the men. If there happens to be a feud with enough of the women that it warrants a blood and guts match, then have the first ever women's blood and guts match. But I don't see any storylines right now, certainly, playing out in the women's, and it's still early in the year, but I don't see that happening. There's certainly nothing going on in the women's division right now that would warrant a blood and guts stipulation. And I don't think they need to do one for the women just because they do one for the men. If there is a storyline that calls for it, then go ahead and do it. If not, then you don't. It's very simple. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett, with the $5 Super Chat. Happy New Year. That Darby stare spot was brutal. His neck and his back. Also, what does this mean for Wardlow, since Darby overcame the leg injury? Yeah, well, I guess you could say that Wardlow could not overcome the leg injury, but Darby did. But, you know, Joe also hit him with the belt, didn't he? He hit him with the championship, I think, before he beat him. Or he hit him with something. I think it was the belt. WWE Wrestling and Gaming with a $6 Super Chat. Hi, Solomonster. It was great. A great episode tonight. I hope we get Darby against Cole in AEW, but however, in WWE, I hope we get Edge against Cena before Edge retires. I don't see that happening. My prediction is that Edge will wrestle in Toronto. He'll have his retirement match. It'll be against Kevin Owens. And Darby dropping the TNT title to Adam Cole was my prediction on the Predictions podcast on Sunday. So. BW with the $5 Super Chat. Yeah, but she's a heel in New Japan. Not saying it won't happen, but heel Mercedes teaming with face Saraya. Tony Storm makes more sense as of right now. What Mercedes is or is not in New Japan makes absolutely no difference. She will be cheered as a babyface when she shows up, if she shows up on TV next week. One has absolutely nothing to do with the other. And you know, her being a heel, she comes across that way, you know, when she talks about, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the blueprint, I'm the boss. But I wouldn't say that she's automatically the heel in New Japan, or the heel in the match with Kairi. She might be. But regardless of whether or not she is, when and if she shows up next week, she is not going to be booed. One has absolutely nothing to do with the other. So if she was going to be Saraya's partner, that's perfectly fine. And by the way, who's to say that she doesn't come out as Saraya's partner and fuck her over and cost Saraya the match? Who's to say? She comes out, oh, I'm going to save her, and then she turns on her. Then she'd be a heel. Rodimus Prime with the $5 super chat. The way Saraya did Sheeta was messed up. I instantly said heel turn. Pretty good show overall. Fire Panda. Thank you for the $2. King Bling Blah with the $4.99. Didn't MJF's mom trash talk him on Busted Open? Why is he so offended by the comments made by DB? I would have had him agree to be more of a heel. That's actually a really good point. He should have turned around and said, you're right, my mother is a hoa. She is a hoa. JWD82X. Been a long time since I caught a live stream, but I rewatch everyone and every podcast. Definitely helps the ride to work. Just wanted to send some love. JWD, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate you. Metal Rules 5 with a $20 super chat. Do you think that 2016 angle with Shane O'Mac and the briefcase was actually an inside joke where Vince McMahon is flaunting his extramarital affairs with the non-disclosure in that briefcase? They never did pay it off. So you're giving this too much thought. It was one of many storylines over the years that they came up with that they had no endgame for, and it was simply forgotten about. So, to answer your question, no. Hulkling 93. Me and my brother always laugh at Hogan's ecstatic yes when announced as the challenger. Ah, that was for Flair at the press conference. He was like a damn spoiled kid. Well, that was Hogan. I said Hogan was always a heel masquerading as a baby. As a kid, I didn't know it. As an adult, I see it now. I see him now for what he is. I should have known just by all the constant eye rakes and back rakes and just the way he wrestled. The guy was never a babyface. He was only masquerading as one. Alex Jimenez. And by the way, Vitamin Vision has been a channel member for 15 months. He has been a sound-off superstar. Happy New Year to you as well, brother. But we have Alex Jimenez. Tonight's show is fantastic. Favorite John Hughes movie. I love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Man, that's a tough one because he had a lot of really great movies. Well, I mean, I guess Uncle Buck was one too. Uncle Buck was John Hughes, right? Home Alone. I mean, there's been so many great ones. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is just, it's an all-time classic though. I mean, how do I vote against that? No matter how many times I watch that last, well, the second to last scene of the movie, I won't spoil it. But if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what scene I'm talking about at the train station. I can't watch that scene and not, like, tear up. It's just impossible. So, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles would get my vote. Marcus Metcalf, Kiera Hogan is better than Ruby Soho. Certainly an opinion. TRG Swag, keep Sammy away from Sasha. Oh, it's a good point. You know, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, Ty better keep him away from her. Rizzo, just saw this on Twitter. 10 years ago today, 3MB debuted on SmackDown. I don't know what I would have done without that piece of information. See, now I wish we would have celebrated. And Jordan Hitchner with the $4.99. Did you notice Shivani's voice towards the end of Swerve and Fox reminded me of post-cancer... Not post-cancer Moo. Uffman Entertainment with the $100 super chat bomb. At the most inopportune time. Oh my. Let me finish this one first. Did I notice Shivani's voice towards the end of Swerve and Fox reminded me of a post cancer Heenan, but he cleared it up by the end. I mean, Shivani, that's a weird comparison, by the way. But Shivani has talked on his own podcast about how he wishes that his voice was the same as it used to be. His voice is not exactly the same because he's older now. He's in his 60s, right? Getting old sucks. We look older. We sound different. How will I sound when I'm sitting here in 25 years doing a live stream? Am I going to sound exactly the same way that I sound now? Probably not. I just hope I'm still here and breathing. But yeah, I mean, Shivani, his voice sometimes is... It's got kind of like a weak sound to it. But his voice changed a little bit because he got older. That's life. BW says, do I see Tony Khan giving us AEW women's tag team titles in 2023? I hope not. And Uffman, you are the man. You beat out JM. JM now has the number 2 highest super chat of the night. Uffman usurped him with a $100 super chat. It is officially the 5th on the East Coast, so a happy 4th wedding anniversary to my wife, Jenny. Headed to New York City later for dinner and then a Broadway show. Going to see MJ the Musical. And yes, she is a sound-off girl. Well, give Jenny a shout-out from the Solomonster. And I wish you both a very happy 4th wedding anniversary. That is very cool. And you will enjoy it. I've actually heard good things about that. I haven't been to a Broadway show in years, but... I've heard good things about that show, so enjoy New York, and thank you again for the support. Uffman, you know how I feel about you, brother. Always holding things down in the chat. Uffman is the man. Tuxedo says, Solo's voice has changed since the early sound. Oh, yes, they have. My voice has changed a lot since those early sound. I can't even go back and listen to those early sound offs, but you can. You're a Sound Off Legends tier member. You've got those first 13 episodes with more to come. Go back and listen to those and tell me how I sound. Boney with the $2. Some say Tony, some say Mercedes. I say Renee. I thought you were going to say some say Tony, some say Boney. That was a missed opportunity right there. Thank you for the $2. Thank you, sir. Well, that was fun. We are almost at 450 likes. You guys smashed the goal here. Which means that I suppose I should give you what I promised. But before I do, we have some more super chats here. Fire Panda says Solomonster is actually 28 years old. Are you implying that I'm lying about my age? If I were to lie about my age, why would I make myself older? I would make myself younger. Isn't that what would make sense? Luis, our friend Luis, dropping $10. Can we dismiss Vince McMahon to the deepest, darkest depths of the Shadow Realm? His booking sucked. I always love how Luis chimes in with something that has absolutely nothing to do with the show that we just watched. It's very on brand for Luis. That's how I know it's really him. Graham B., Chris Danger eats corn the long way. Thank you, Graham. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
You guys smashed the goal. You know what that means. Wednesday night, it's time to be the booker. We will begin with men's Be the Booker. We had a pretty good night the other night. See if we can match it tonight. We begin with Broken Matt Hardy. Broken Matt Hardy, challenger number one here in Be the Booker. Oh, yeah. How does he do that voice? Oh, yes. Right? Is that the voice he used to do? Oh, yeah. I sound like Paul Bear, who's having heart palpitations. All right. Broken Matt Hardy going to go one-on-one with Logan Paul. I hope Logan Paul doesn't try to sell Matt Hardy some crypto. Broken Matt against Logan Paul. I'm not a fan of that match. Let's move on to the women's Be the Booker. See how things turn out here on this side. We begin with Ivy Nile of Diamond Mine from NXT. Ivy Nile. They've been pairing off Ivy Nile with Tatum Paxley. I miss the old Ivy Nile. I don't know what they've been doing with her. Ivy Nile going to go one-on-one with Ivory. This is not going well. This is not going well. That's the worst Ivory, too. It's the one from Right to Censor. Yeah, BlissFan, I don't know. It's weird. It's totally random. And there's like well over 150 women in this thing. And I feel like we've landed on Ivy a few times now. You're just upset we don't land on Alexa. I'll have you know, Alexa Bliss is in this thing at least twice, if not three times. All right, let's pick a tag team here. We have the Dark Order, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. I can already see where this is headed. I can already see where this is headed. The Dark Order against Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson. A pleasant surprise. I think that would actually end up being a very good match. So at least we were able to salvage one of them, right? One is better than none. At least we got one. Not our best night as far as Be the Booker, but I was feeling generous about that last. Moxley and Danielson against Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. You know, Stu Grayson and Evil Uno are actually not bad at all. We had them in House of Glory a number of months ago, and they're very good. I don't like the Dark Order gimmick, but you put those two in the ring with Danielson and Moxley, you're going to have a very good match. Food Hive. The build-up between Matt and Logan would be fire. Yeah, but the match itself, though, I mean, I feel like that's really all it would be. It would be about the broken stuff from the broken compound, right? Maybe Logan Paul tries to visit him. Rebby Hardy, you know, beats him up or something. I totally believe Rebby Hardy can beat up Logan Paul, by the way. But no, that match doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me, brother. The Dark Order is AEW's longest running faction. Well, that's very sad. I feel like most of the members are gone, right? We got John Silver, Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno. who else is left? Negative one. Grayson is gone. Preston Vance is gone. There was another one. Wasn't there another guy that was in the group? Who am I thinking of? I'm not thinking of Brody Lee. I'm thinking of somebody else. Isn't the Elite a day one faction? Yeah, I mean, technically, the Elite would be... They're the ones running the company, basically. So, the Elite would be there from day one. That's true. The Dark Jobbers. Oh, they lost. That's right. They lost Anna Jay, and Colt Cabana, and Allen Angels. I'm telling you, they lost most of their people. Liquid Sharingan says C, and he's yelling at me because it has exclamation points in it. I have no idea why you're yelling. It's too late to yell. All right, guys, this has been fun. Thank you for hanging out with me for the second time here. This is our second live stream of the day. The first one here was my Wrestle Kingdom review from earlier on this evening. I'm sure most of you did not see it because it was announced very late. I went live at around 6:30, so full review is a little over an hour. It's up right now for you in video form for you to check out. Please do so. And I enjoyed Dynamite very much tonight. Hopefully we get another banger episode next week. It'll be a big one in LA at the Forum. So I'll be right back here reviewing it for you yet again, talking about it. Liquid Sharingan, another super chat saying Hawks. Ah, I see. Seahawks. You got to read both super chats together for it to make sense. See, now I get it. Now I get it. See, now, if you would have dropped that first super chat and then your internet connection died and you couldn't send the second one, it would have looked like you were just saying C. Like you were lost at C, sending, like, send help or something. It would have been very weird. It's like that one guy many years ago during the Attitude Era on Raw who had a sign. It was him and his friends, and they each had a sign with a different letter, and they were spelling out The Rock. Or they were supposed to be spelling out The Rock. And one of his friends obviously was sitting down eating fucking Cheetos or something. And the guy with the C was sitting down, so it said The Roke. I said, you fucking morons. And it just so happened the camera got on them at that moment. But obviously that one guy couldn't be bothered to stand up. I will never forget that. Oh, me. The Roke says, I'm going to get out of here. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a good night. Thank you for all the love. And we will be back here and do it all over again on Friday night after SmackDown. I'll see you guys then.